Glory to God. How many would like to break the spirit of poverty and lack off your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it doesn't just come by wishing. You got to learn how to do it. God has given us the ability to get it done. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be overcomers in this life. In 3 John and verse 2, God gives us a verse here through the Apostle John, and he says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Hallelujah. Now, I get all excited about that because I know in Ephesians 1, I've been accepted in the Beloved. Praise God. So he's talking to me. And John is the apostle that was loved of the Lord, he says. You know, John always talks about how God loved him so much. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You read each writer and he'll tell you how much God loved him. And so, you know, every one of us should say we're the one that the Lord loves too. Amen. But John writing here, and he says, "Beloved, I pray." It's his prayer. So if he's praying, I believe he knows it's God's will. And so therefore, he's praying for God to do something for us. And he says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things." Hallelujah. I like the way that reads. You may prosper in all things. That means everything you put your hand to, God wants you to succeed at. Amen. See, you and I, we need to have the attitude that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to win. Praise God. I don't play just to play. I play to win. I want to overcome. I want to get victory, praise God. And you know, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28, one of the blessings that would come upon us if we'd hearken unto God's voice and do His will, He said that He would bless all that you put your hand to. Now, if God would bless all that they would put their hand to under the old covenant, and we're living under a new covenant with better promises, praise God, and a better covenant, surely God wants to bless all that we put our hands to. Amen? God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to be overcomers in this life. So He wants us to prosper. Notice that He's saying, "Beloved, I pray that above all things you may prosper." And then notice this. He says, "And be in health," praise God. Amen. That means God wants you to be successful and be healthy enough to enjoy your success. Wants you to be strong, praise the Lord. You know, I love reading over in the 92nd Psalm. I read a lot out and I speak it out from the Amplified Bible. And you know, he talks about being strong and stately and upright, praise God, and producing, you know, fruit in your old age and growing in grace and being anointed with a fresh anointing of God. You know, those are the things that God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to be healthy. Now, here's the thing you got to get a hold of. There is a devil loose on the earth and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that right? God doesn't kill, God doesn't steal, and God doesn't destroy. God doesn't hold things back. Psalm 84:11 says He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly before Him. Praise God. And so God is wanting to release blessings in our lives. He wants us to prosper. He wants you to be a success. The devil's the one that wants you to be defeated. He's the one that wants you to go down in flames. He's the one that attacks your body and attacks your business, attacks your home, attacks your finances because he's a thief. He's out to destroy. But thank God, God tells us here through the Apostle John that He wants us to be successful. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be overcomers in this life. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be full of joy, praise God. But you know, He tells us here in this same verse the condition or the key that it's going to take if we're going to prosper and be successful. He says this, "Just as your soul prospers." Amen. Your attitude about life has a great effect on what you're going to be. Amen. He said you're going to prosper even as your soul prospers. You're going to be healthy and blessed even as your soul prospers. Praise God. What's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your attitudes towards life. And so therefore he's saying this, what you think about it is going to affect how you're going to come out of it. Amen. If your attitude is, well, I'm just a loser, or I just can't make it, I just don't know why God doesn't love me, you're going to be defeated all the time. But if you can get your attitude and your soul changed, and you can get your soul operating in the way God wants you to, then you can begin to prosper and come out of that situation, praise God. You see, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, he says this, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, the word conform there in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it talks about presenting your body and not being conformed and all this stuff and transforming yourself. But anyway, yeah, what he's talking about there, not conformed, in other words, don't have the world's attitude. Don't live in a state of depression, defeat, darkness, and failure, and I can't make it. And he says, don't let the world fashion you. Don't let the world conform you to the way it wants you to be. If it is, it'll tell you that you're not worthy. It'll tell you that you're defeated. It'll tell you that you're just a nothing. Amen. That you came from some kind of a, you know, single cell situation. It splashed up on a rock one day. And if that's all you are, then no wonder you don't have any worth. Amen. Huh? I don't know if your ancestors swung from trees, but mine didn't. Well, some of them may have hung from a tree, but they didn't swing from one. Praise God. Huh? Somebody said, they're so proud of their family tree, I don't want to go back and shake mine too much. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know, this is the thing. You got to change your attitude. You're going to have to renew your mind. James said over there in chapter 1, he said that we're to lay aside all superfluity of knowledge, the overflow of wickedness. Get rid of that. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The word save there means to refurbish, renew, and redo, praise God. God wants you thinking straightened out. He wants you to change the way you see things and change the way your attitude is to be, praise God. And so he says this, you're going to prosper at the same level that your soul prospers. In other words, God spoke this to me. He said, most believers don't have a money problem. They have a word problem. I'll say it to you again. Most believers don't have a money problem. They have a word problem. Because you see, you're all the time seeking more money. You're all the time seeking more success. You're all the time seeking greater opportunities when you ought to be seeking the Word of God and find out what the Word has to say about it. Because you're never going to be transformed because you got more money. You're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God. You're going to be transformed to walk in success and victory when the Word gets in your heart and gets in your head and changes your attitude about situations. Amen? You see, you and I have to discover what God's will is, and then we have to discover how to apply that will in our lives. If we don't know God's will, we can't do God's will, can we? Amen. So the very first key for you to be a success, for you to turn yourself away from poverty, lack, and want, and bring yourself over into prosperity, bring yourself out of failure, and bring yourself over into victory, is this. I have to discover, is it God's will for me to prosper? Is it God's will for me to be a success? Is it God's will? See, not is it God's will for people to prosper. That doesn't do me a bit of good. Amen. It's wonderful that I can believe God wants us all to prosper, but how many of you believe God wants you to prosper? Amen. So you got to make it personal. You got to get to the place where you say, I believe it's God's will to prosper me. I believe it's God's will for me to be successful. I believe it's God's will for me to accomplish things. I believe it's God's will for me to be the head, not the tail. It's God's will for me to be above and not beneath. It's God's will to bless all the work of my hands. It's God's will to bless my home. It's God's will to bless my work. It's God's will to bless me in what I do. Amen. See, you have to discover that. He says you'll never rise above the level of revelation that you're operating in. I'm going to say it to you again. You will never rise above the level of the revelation of the Word of God you are operating in. Faith comes by the Word, and it takes faith to please God and faith to do these things. And you will never rise up and be any healthier than you are renewed in the Word of God. You'll never succeed any higher than you are in your attitude and revelation of the Word of God. Amen. So we have to get into the Word of God and find out, is it God's will for me to be successful? Is it God's will for me? Me, 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 me. Not just us, me. Is it God's will that I should prosper and be in health? Well, in Galatians 3:13 and 14, we read that God said over there, Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, hasn't He? Amen. He was a curse on the tree. On the tree, on the cross, Jesus Christ became the curse of the law for you and me. Why did Jesus take our curse? Verse 14, that the blessing that was promised Abraham could come on us, the Gentiles, that we could receive all these promises of God by faith in God. Amen. Well, somebody says, well, what's a part of the curse? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says what? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, and He was rich. I mean, He's glorified on the throne of God. Yet He became poor. When did He become poor? When He came to this earth and walked amongst us, praise God. He told them one place, He said, you know, the fellow came to Him there in Matthew and said, Lord, I'll go wherever you go. And He said, the birds of the air have their nests and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. What was He saying? I've emptied myself. I've given of myself. I've released it all. Then on the cross, what was He? He took our curse of poverty on the cross. And what's it say? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. that though he was rich, yet he became poor. That in his poverty, what? You and I could become rich. Hallelujah. Now somebody says, that mean I'm going to be a millionaire? Could be, not necessarily. But it does mean that God wants you to prosper. It does mean God wants you to be successful. It does mean that it doesn't matter whether you're born in the hills of West Virginia, Kentucky, or the in Ohio. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. Doesn't matter what your education background is. It matters now. What are you going to do about right now? What are you going to do about this book? What are you going to do about your relationship with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about what God says? Amen? Because you see, here's the thing. You can take and have all the things, all the accolades, all the degrees, all the wonderful, but you know what? If you'll get into the Word of God, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. God will raise you up and bless you and prosper you and teach you how to be a success in life. Amen? That's the great thing about the Lord. He doesn't look at our past. He just looks at our potential. I'm going to say it to you again. He doesn't look at our past. He just looks at our potential, praise God. And he says, listen, if you'll renew your mind, your potential rises all the way up to the throne of God. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. Amen? So number one, we have to find out, is it God's will to prosper me? And the Word teaches me that God wants me to be a success. God wants me to be an overcomer. God wants me to prosper. God wants to bless me in my endeavors. Hallelujah. He wants me to have a prosperous life, a victorious life. Praise God. Now, the second thing you have to do if you're going to walk in prosperity and success and victory and health is this. Once you discover it's God's will for you to have these things, the second thing is you have to now learn how to apply these things in your life. Amen. James says, if you're not a doer of the word and you're just a hearer of the word, you're deceiving yourselves. You're walking around thinking everything's okay, but whenever crunch time comes around, you'll get defeated. Did you hear me? Meaning what? Well, you weren't doing it. You weren't practicing it. It's just like this. I don't care what your intentions are. You can go downtown. They can put you in the newest running shoes, the best that you can get. They can put you in running apparel, and you can put a band around your head, with a logo on it that's priced up there, and you can get you all this look, and you can have your little bottle and you can have other stuff, and you say, I'm ready for the marathon. Hallelujah. I'm gonna run the marathon. I'm gonna go out here and do this, praise God. And you look good. I mean, you got everything except you haven't been running. You've been sitting around thinking about it. You got a map and you even saw where the route is. And you read about marathoners, hallelujah. And you know, man, every so often they've got refreshment places and they've got all this stuff and you gotta run these miles in so many minutes so that you can be competitive and you know all the facts. In fact, you could teach marathon running. And now you look good. I mean, you're looking good. Everybody says, woo, don't they look good? They look like a marathoner. And you're going to last about, three quarters of a mile, maybe. And all of a sudden, you know what you're going to do? You're going to see the real marathoner show up because, you're going to start huffing and puffing and you're going to look at your watch and you're going to go, oh, my God, I've been running long enough now. I should have been finished and I'm only gone 2 miles, And you're going to survive to get to the first refreshment stand. Why? Because you haven't been doing anything about it. You know all about it. You dress for it. You look good, but you aren't in shape. People that run marathons run all year to get ready for the marathon. They practice. They make it a lifestyle. They get themselves ready. And you know what John is saying here? He said, beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper in life, that you may have a successful, prosperous life, and that you'll be in health. But guess what, folks? You can't just wait till you need prosperity to practice it. Can't wait till you need healing to practice it. You got to learn how to walk in this thing. And you learn to develop it in your life. And you learn to cultivate it in your life. And it becomes an attitude. It becomes who you are. I don't think poor. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Cheer me on, praise God. I used to think poor all the time. I don't think poor. I think prosperity. I think victory. I don't think defeat. I think overcoming. I don't think sickness and disease. I think healthy. I don't think old. I think I'm being renewed like the eagles, praise God. And my youth is rising up. I think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think my best days are still in front of me. I rejoice for all the great things God has done, but I'm expecting greater things still, praise God. I just have an attitude that everything I've done up till now has prepared me for what God wants to do with me right now. Hallelujah. Somebody says, where do you get that from? Is that just your personality? Yes, just my personality. And it was developed in this book, praise God. Doing what God says, getting in the Word and renewing my attitude and my mind and my heart to this which God says I can have. Amen. So let's do this. Let's take just a little bit of time and go back over some stuff that we looked at. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, because if you're going to find out if it's God's will for you to prosper and be successful and victorious, you need to go back to the original intent of God's purpose and plan for mankind. Why? Because Malachi 3:6, God spoke to the children of Israel, said, I am the Lord, I change not. In James chapter 1, he says, there's neither shadow nor variableness of turning with God. God never changes, does he? So if God doesn't change, his plan doesn't change. Now, here's the thing. God's plan can be breached. God's plan can be put off or neglected for a generation, but he'll always bring that plan to pass with somebody. Are you hearing me? See, God promised Abraham that his seed would possess the promised land. Well, he couldn't, you know, Moses sent the spies out, and they came back, you know, all except for two, came back with an evil report of doubt and unbelief. And whenever God heard them speaking, they couldn't. God said, I'm going to give you just what you say, and you're going to experience the breach of my covenant, the breach. In other words, there's going to be a breaking here of what I said. You're not going to get it. The next generation will. They didn't change God's plan. They just delayed it in their lives. Amen? And so here's the thing. You need to understand, when God says something here in Genesis 1, he means for today, just as he's never changed. God still wants us to be overcomers in this life. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, listen to what God says when he's creating this thing. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to charge the earth that when seed is planted in it, it causes the seed to grow into a tree, and the tree produces fruit, and that fruit you can eat, but inside the fruit there will be a seed, and if that seed gets planted back into the earth, it'll produce another tree. Hallelujah. And that way the earth will continue to perpetuate itself and produce an abundance of provision in the earth. Now, did it work? Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass. In other words, and the earth did it. Hallelujah. Just started doing it. And the herb that yields seed according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In other words, God said, I'm going to set this thing up so that everything will reproduce after itself. It'll produce another one just like itself, praise God, and it'll just perpetuate, and it'll go, and it'll go, and go, and there'll be a supernatural abundance on the earth, and God saw that it was good. So what is God's original attitude towards prosperity? It's good. Amen. Everybody say this, prosperity good, poverty bad. Amen. Makes simple, doesn't it? Amen. Huh? In other words, it is not a good thing to not have enough money to pay your bills. Anybody ever been there? I have. It's not a good thing to not have enough money to meet the end of the month. Hallelujah. It's not a good thing to wonder how you're going to put gas in your car. It's not a good thing. I don't know, you know, some people run around and say, well, God's teaching you humility. No, it isn't. It's the devil stealing your gas. Amen. Devil trying to tell you that God's word don't work. Don't swallow that religious junk. Amen. What did God say? God said, I'm producing this thing, and the earth is to produce for you. Now look in verse 27 down here. Let's pick it on up down here in this same chapter, Genesis 1. So God created man. Now once God gets the earth operating, God creates man. Look what he says. In his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God creates man and woman. So what does God do with this man and woman? Then God blessed them. Notice God blessed the women as well as the men. Amen? Amen. Notice that? He says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, what is God saying? God says, I am creating you in my image, and I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a ministry. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to fill the earth with people just like you. But you got to remember now, the people they are godly people, holy people, righteous people, people in love with God, people worshiping God. What was the plan for God and man? Man was to take the authority of God, the dominion of God, and he was to fill this earth with people that would worship God. Amen? That's God's original plan. It's God's original work. It's God's original ministry for humanity, that we're to reach all across the world, and we're to fill it with people that would worship God. Amen? Now, we know that Adam sins and fails and falters. And so therefore sin comes in the world. But did it change God's plan? No. God sends the Lord Jesus Christ into this earth, and he redeems man from sin. And then what does he say in Matthew 28? Go in all the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to do all the things I've commanded you. What's he still saying to us? He's saying, still go into all the world and fill it with people that will worship God and love Jesus and be saved and set free. Hallelujah. Now we cannot, through natural birth, produce holy people, but through the rebirth of the Spirit, through the new birth of making Jesus Lord, we can still do what God told Adam and Eve to do. Amen? We should be out trying to do our utmost to fill the earth with people that love God. That is your purpose for living today. Amen? To worship God and to also spread that word so others can worship God, and this earth will be filled with people that love Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our purpose, our goal. Look what he then says to them. Here, that was his purpose. That was his goal. That was their job. Now look in verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you. Everybody say, I have given you. Whoa, wait a minute. What's God doing here? God creates the earth, sets the seed in motion, tells the seed time and harvest to work. The earth begins to produce abundance. Then God creates man. God gives man a job. God gives man a ministry. And then look what he says. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Hallelujah. What's he saying? God says, the reason I've created all of this abundance, the reason I've created all this good stuff and this wealth is so that you can have all the resources you need to live victoriously and to spread the word around the world. Hallelujah. In fact, the verse 28 up here in the Amplified reads it this way. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's he saying? God says, if you'll partner with me and work with me and do what I call you to do, all the vast resources of earth I'll make available to you. Just have to pause for a moment. Think on that one, don't you? You see, because the Bible says God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and all the gold and the silver and the earth belongs to God. And all this wealth is out here waiting on us to be able to be used to spread his gospel and to do his works and live victorious. And John says, I pray, beloved, that above all these things you will prosper in everything you put your hand to, and God will heal you and bless you. But you got to renew yourself to the fact that God wants you to have this. God called you to have this, and he wants it to work in your life. Amen. But once again, you know, the naysayers and doubters will come along and say, yes, but that was before the fall. What about, you know, now we're under the curse, and, you know, God told Adam when he fell that, you know, the earth would produce thorns and thistles, and so, you know, it's not there. But remember, Christ redeemed us from the curse. But even before that, look what happens in Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, the very first thing that Noah does after the flood is he builds an altar and he worships God, and God smells the sweet aroma of that worship coming up, and God reaffirms his covenant with man. And in Genesis 8:22, listen to what God tells him. While the earth remains, while the earth is still in operation, while it's still here, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. That's God reaffirming his covenant of prosperity and blessing to man. Amen. Somebody says, well, you know, you mean this is still working? Absolutely. It's cold and heat, isn't it? Last time I looked last night, it was dark. It was night. I woke up this morning and it was day. Praise God. It's hot and it's cold. It's summer and it's winter. And that means there's still seed time and harvest. Meaning what? The earth is still doing exactly what God commanded it to do in Genesis 1. I was sharing. I was driving down around 60. We got back in. And so I was driving down from Ona up there and back down towards into the mall. And as I was driving down the road there along around 60, I just couldn't help. I just got to thinking about it. Because if you look where it's been rainy and sun and summer, all those trees are growing up. And there's places there on that two lane. It looks almost like you're in a tunnel. I mean, the trees are growing way over. And I looked up on the hill and there's underbrush everywhere. And it just rose up inside me. The earth is doing exactly what God told it to do. Praise God. It's just growing and growing. You leave it alone, it'll just cover everything up. Amen. It'll take it back over. Praise God. And you know, God didn't set that in motion just so that the earth would have it. He set it in motion so you and I could have access to it and we could learn how to make it work for us. Praise God. Amen. How am I going to make it work? Everything that God says in Genesis operates out of seed time and harvest. You sow the seed and you believe God to produce a harvest back into your life. Amen. Everything is giving and receiving. Everything flows out has to flow back in. Do you understand that whenever your whole life starts with giving and receiving? You know, you come out of your mama's womb and your lungs get cleared out and God gives you your first breath. But for you to get another one, you got to breathe it out. So you have to give it out to get another one in. And you have to give it out to get another one in. And you know what? As long as you keep giving your breath out, God will keep giving you breath back in. Amen? As long as you're here on this earth, you get to do that. Praise God. It's giving and receiving all the time going on. And you know what's amazing? God will always give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What's that? God will set you up when you come to Him and give you something to invest back into His kingdom. God will start you off with something, and it's a seed that you can use for His glory. It's a seed that you can use that will bring you out of where you're at and bring you up to where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Look in Galatians chapter 6 real quickly. Look over here in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul gives us some tremendous truth here in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And he ties giving and receiving right in with the kingdom of God. It's a New Testament law that God puts in, spiritual law. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul says this, "Do not be deceived." Well, that's a good word for us, isn't it? Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. Then he goes on and says this, God is not mocked. In other words, you can't con God. Amen. God's not going to be mocked. You're not going to act like one thing and God think you're another. Amen. So he says this, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Notice this, you're not going to reap what I sow. I'm going to reap what I sow. And I'm not going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. Amen. And the only way you can get any reaping on what I sow is if you sneak in my garden at nighttime and steal it. Amen. That's the only way you can reap it, other than me giving it to you. Amen. So he says, be not mocked. You can't con God. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Then he goes on, he says this, for he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, what's he talking about there, sowing to the flesh reaps corruption? Well, when God tells you to do something and you refuse to do it because your flesh gets involved, you're sowing to the flesh. What do you mean? Well, God tells you to go tell somebody would you go over there, the Lord speaks to you and gives you a unction. He says, here's what I want you to go over and encourage that person and let them know that I love them and offer prayer for them. And you go, God, I don't think I want to do that. I don't really know them and I don't feel comfortable doing anything like that. And so you resist it. You know what you did? You sowed to your flesh. You let your flesh determine what you're going to do. Now, God wanted you to take that seed of love and plant it into that person. And if you would have, you'd have reaped a harvest back out of it. But because you didn't yield to the Spirit and do what He told you to do, then corruption. In other words, the enemy got in and corrupted that thing and stopped what God wanted to do. Amen? See, God tells you, you know, I want you to go over there and apologize and tell them you're sorry and be a peacemaker. And you say, well, Lord, they did this to me first, and I just don't think I'm going to do it. Well, God's not interested in them doing it first. God's wanting you to sow a seed of reconciliation, a seed of peace. And if you'll do that, then you'll reap a harvest of peace coming back into your life. But you don't, and you yield to your flesh, Satan gets in and corrupts that, and therefore he stops what God really wanted to do, and that was to bring harmony and get rid of the discord. Amen? And so God says everything you do, you should look at it as a seed. Everything, every action, if you give, God says, I want you to sow into this offering. And you say, well, God, I need that money for this week. I need it for this, I need it for that, and everything else. And then you yield to your flesh, and what happens? You sow to corruption. The enemy corrupts what God was trying to do. God was going to work in your behalf and bring you a harvest of plenty, but you stopped it because you didn't plant any seed. Amen? And so God says this. He says, don't be deceived. Don't, you know, God's not mocked. You can't con God. You can't say, God, I believe you to bless me when you didn't do what God told you to do. You can't claim God to meet your needs whenever you didn't plant any seed for God to meet your needs. See, you have to respond. You have to act. You have to obey. You have to do. See, it's one thing to know God wants you to prosper. It's another thing to know how to apply those laws in your life so that God can make you prosper. Amen? Look what he goes on. He says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good. You ever notice that? Sometimes you get to plant seed and believe in God and you stand your ground and you're praying and it doesn't happen just overnight. And the enemy tries to come in and talk you out of it. Tries to tell you that it's not working. God says, don't grow weary in those times. He says this, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart and faint. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying, stay with God. You sow your seed, you trust God, and you believe God's going to turn that thing around, praise the Lord. Amen? And this is the thing. Even if it comes to sowing seed into reconciliation, you may not see that person turn immediately, but you're believing God for a harvest that he's going to heal that relationship, or God's going to turn that person's life around, or God's going to change the situation for you because you did what God told you to do. You sowed a seed of love. You sowed a seed of obedience into that situation, and now you're believing God to bring you a harvest back into your life, and you're not going to grow weary and get defeated and frustrated and quit just because you don't see results immediately. Amen? But you're going to stay with God. You're going to stay and let God work this thing out for you. Praise the Lord. Now, there are twofold purposes in our giving that we always need to look at. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6. And the Amplified brings it out really good. And your first purpose that you always should give, whether it's finances, whether anything, is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, now listen, here's the first key, that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. What's my number one purpose and motive for giving? I want somebody else to be blessed. I want somebody else to get involved in this thing. I want somebody else to come in. My purpose for giving is not, first of all, me. My purpose of giving is, first of all, is to worship God so that somebody else can be blessed. Somebody else can get involved. Somebody else. See, if I'm going to you, let's just take it out of money and take it over into the fact that there's strife going on, there's division going on. Well, if I come to you as a peacemaker and I sow into you, my purpose should be not just so I can get something out of it, but my purpose should be, I just want this stopped. I want peace to come in. I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to be hurt, so I'm going to come and minister to you peace. Hallelujah. Amen? My purpose is so that you can be blessed, and my purpose is so that the devil will have his head chopped off and not be able to keep this thing going anymore. But you know what the great thing about that is? Whenever I sow that out, the Bible says I reap a harvest because now peace comes upon me because I'm no longer in strife. I'm no longer anger. I'm no longer in bitterness. I'm no longer in unforgiveness. I've been delivered, praise God. So my harvest already is starting to come in the very moment I act on the word. Let's bring it into money. Why do I bring my tithes and offerings and place them into the house of God and sow them into the house of God? Because I want somebody else to experience Jesus Christ in their life like I've experienced Him. I want to be a part of this, praise God. I want to hook up with what God is doing. I want this gospel to be preached. I want the lives of people around me to be changed. I want people to hear it. I want to help finance the gospel on radio and TV and printed page and preaching and outreaches and any way we can get the word out. I want to be a part of it, praise God. In fact, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians church in verse 15, I'll read it to the Amplified. Listen to what he says. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only. Notice Paul says, you entered into partnership with me. Amen. You know what your giving is? Your giving is you are in partnership with God because you want to be a part of getting this gospel out. You want people to hear the truth. You want the truth preached and the word preached and lives changed and somebody else to get blessed. Amen. But then what's the second part of giving? It's found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Listen to what he says. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Hallelujah. What's my second reason for giving? To release God's grace, favor, and blessing of abundance and provision in my life. Oh, Pastor, I just cannot believe that you would give to get something. Oh, come off of it, you religious fake. Amen. You mean you never pray to get an answer? You mean you would literally pray and ask God to answer you? You would give God a prayer to get an answer back from Him? Oh, you sorry thing, you. You mean that you would actually go and tell somebody something good because you want to get a response of blessing back from them? See, this is the thing, folks. We've gotten religious, and we all of a sudden we say, "Well, I would never give and expect God to do anything for me." Well, that's stupid. It's like a farmer going out here in the springtime, plowing up acres and acres and acres of land, and planting his seed in the ground, and then everybody says, "What are you going to do now?" Nothing. Why not? Well, I wouldn't dare. I would never expect God to give me a harvest. I'm just excited about sowing my seed. He'd only do that one year. Because he wouldn't be in business very long. You know, why does a farmer plant his seed in the ground? Well, number one, he ought to plant his seed in the ground, especially if he's a big farmer, because he loves farming and he loves producing crops and he loves being able to feed people. Amen. Why does he also give? Because he knows that harvest is going to come in, feed his family, clothe his family, pay his bills, and take care of him so he can keep doing what he loves to do. Amen. The Lord Jesus sets this thing up for us exactly the same way in the new covenant. God set it up in Genesis and he keeps it right on through. God says, here's what I want you to do. When I bless you and I prosper you, I give you seed. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring that seed and plant it into my kingdom. Sow it into the kingdom of God so that others can hear this gospel and so that others can be blessed. And you partner with me and you become a part of my great plan of taking this gospel to all the nations of the world. And when you do, then you have a right to believe me that I will cause grace and favor and every earthly blessing to come to you in abundance, and I'll give you a harvest and I'll prosper you and I'll bring all the resources of earth into your hands so that you can be a part of the kingdom and you can have your needs met also. Hallelujah. So every time you give, you ought to expect God to bless you back. You ought to expect God to meet your needs. You ought to expect God to break the spirit of poverty off of your life. You ought to expect God to do something great in your life. Hallelujah. And you see, we live in a community where, you know, the spirit of poverty tries to prevail and the enemy tries to get you in and keep your just a hand tight fist on money. If you got a dollar bill, you better squeeze it until it screams. Don't you dare get in this. It won't work here in this place. Well, if it don't work in this place, let's just throw it out because it won't work in any place. Because God's word has to work everywhere. It don't work anywhere. And it has to work for everybody or it won't work for anybody. Amen. I refuse to let what the people on the newscast are telling me. I refuse to let the economy tell me. I refuse to let my geographical location tell me how I'm supposed to live. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Jesus is my Lord, and this word supersedes everything else the devil has to say. I can prosper when it's bad. I can prosper when it's good. I can be healthy when there's sickness all around me. I can be healthy when there's no sickness around me. I can be victorious when everybody else is not. I can be victorious when everybody else is, because my process of victory and success and being an overcomer doesn't come because of where I am or who I am or the time I'm living in. It comes because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. John didn't say, I'm praying, beloved, that you'll prosper and be in health even as the times are or as other people are. He said, as your soul prospers. You see, you cannot determine my prosperity. Well, yes, I can. If I don't give, you won't get anything. I'll get whatever I need, whether you are, you give or you don't, because you're not my source. I don't look to the tithes of you to pay my salary. I look to God to take care of my salary. Amen. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't have a job like I do. I've got a job just like anybody else does. I've got a job of preaching the gospel and getting the word out. You know what you should do? You shouldn't see your job as your only source. That's the reason you don't ever get anything extra, is because your job is the only way you believe in God to get you anything. What you ought to do is sow your seed and say, God, you're my source, and you can bring it in any way you want to bring it. Hallelujah. You can bring it in with birds flying over my head, dropping coins in my yard if you want to. Amen. God, you can bring it with a cow, with a brown paper bag with money in it, up to my doorstep. And if God ever does bring a cow with a brown paper bag of money up to your doorstep, milk the cow before you send it home and get you plenty of milk so you don't have to go buy any. Amen. Because God wants to bless you. And you got to get your eyes off of the natural and get it over into the spirit and say, Lord, I don't know how it's coming. I don't know which way it's coming. I don't know what direction, but I know it's coming because you said that you would bring me a harvest and you would bless me, and it's your will for me to prosper and be successful. Amen. Somebody says, how can you come up with it? I didn't come up with it. I just read it in the Bible. Look in Mark chapter 4. Let me show you. See, once you give, you then have to do this. The second part of giving is receiving. Amen. See, giving and receiving go together. Notice over in Genesis 8:22, it said seed time and harvest. Didn't say seed time or harvest. It said seed time and harvest. That means they go together. You plant a seed, you get a harvest. Giving and receiving, Paul said in Philippians 4:15, you covenanted with me and partner with me in giving and receiving, not giving or receiving, giving and receiving. So once I give, now what I need to do? Now I need to cultivate my heart. I need to cultivate my spirit. I need to cultivate my life so that I can now believe God to receive. What's cultivate? Well, if you cultivate the ground, I looked it up. Webster's just means to clear the ground to grow something in. It also means to clear the weeds out and turn the soil over. Hallelujah. So if I'm going to cultivate the ground of my heart, that means I'm going to have to keep everything out of it that would keep it from producing, and I'm going to have to keep it soft and turned over. In other words, I can't let my heart grow cold or hard like the ground would grow cold and hard. I have to plow it up every now and then and keep it where it's working for God. Amen? Amen. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus says in verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. See, I don't know how God's going to bring my harvest. I don't know who God's going to bring my harvest through. King James says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. He just says men. He doesn't say that man or this man. He says men. Well, I gave and they didn't give me anything back. Usually the person you give or bless doesn't give you anything back. Usually it comes through somebody else. It'll come through some other source. That's why you get up every day and you cultivate and you say, Lord, I'm going to sleep tonight trusting you. I'm getting up trusting you and praising you. I don't know how it's going to come, but I know it's going to come. Hallelujah. Because just like the earth brings forth the harvest, so the kingdom of God brings forth the harvest. The word works, hallelujah. And Lord, I've done what you told me to do. I've sown to the Spirit, and you said I'd reap of the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for working in my life right now. And you begin to cultivate your faith to receive. And you quit thinking about the seed. Because you see, the devil wants to come up and say, well, if you hadn't to give that $10 in church on Sunday morning, you have money right now. You could get you a sandwich. And you run right here going, my God, I gave $10. I can't believe it. And see, you got your mind on your seed again. See, once you plant your seed, get your mind off the seed. It's gone. Hallelujah. Farmer don't go there and go, oh my God, what's wrong with you? I'm missing my seed. It's in the ground. Wish I had that seed back. I love carrying it around my bag with me. Get your eyes off of the seed. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's working for you. Hallelujah. It's working right now. You can't see it. You don't know how it's going to happen. You just get up in the morning and say, praise God. You go to sleep at night in peace, thanking God. And he says the seed springs and grows. Now he doesn't know how, but when the harvest comes, he puts in the sickle and reaps it. Hallelujah. In other words, it's going to come to you if you'll stay patient with God and stay faithful to God. Amen? You just keep living this thing. See, it's not something you try. It's something you're doing. I've developed this as a lifestyle. I'm believing God. I'm living in faith now. I'm walking in faith now. I'm speaking my faith now. Look what he says in verse 14. Jesus talks here and he says this. The sower sows the word. Notice that he talks about the sower sowing the word. In other words, you got to plant the word. You got to do what the word says. Now listen to what happens. Jesus in these next verses talks about how important the ground is and how Satan's going to try to attack the ground, because he knows if he can attack your heart, attack your faith, he can stop your seed from producing the harvest in your life. So you got to cultivate your walk with God. He says this, and these are those that are sown on the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. See, there's some people come to church and they hear the word of God. Woo, hallelujah. And all of a sudden you start seeing yourself coming out of debt. You see yourself getting healthy. You see yourself walking in victory. And God's going to bless you, praise the Lord. And you know God's going to move in your life. And you get in your car and you're almost out the driveway. And you're almost down to the street. And all of a sudden you start thinking about all your problems again. And the word didn't last until you could get to the street. And Satan's done come in, and you said, you know, I was all hyped up. You know, if he'd have took an offering right at that moment, I just might have given a dollar. But by the time you're in the street, man, you're hanging on to that dollar again because you didn't figure out how in the world am I going to make it through this week. Oh, God. You know. So the devil's done stole the seed out of your life. You didn't produce anything. Now look what happened. Then these are likewise those sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive with gladness, and yet they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a short time, and afterwards when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are stumbled. Now what's he talking about there? See, stony ground is, you can't grow stuff on rocks. And so the devil's going to throw some hard spots. He's going to throw a test at you if you give. He's going to have somebody come along and say, you mean you went down there and heard Huffman preach that prosperity cult message and you gave your good money into that? I cannot believe you got duped like that and put that money in there. You know you got bills to pay. And it's the devil trying to throw rocks in your garden because he knows rocks and seed don't mix. And so he's trying to throw some things in your garden to keep your harvest from coming up. And if you don't watch out, it'll happen. Or you come and you give and you obey God and you've got the revelation and you go out and you do it on Sunday and on Tuesday in the mail, there's a bill you weren't expecting. Anybody ever been there? Why? Because a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to discourage you because he knows if you keep that seed in the ground and cultivate your heart and cultivate your faith and stay with God and don't grow weary and keep worshiping God and praising God, that seed's working in your behalf right now. God is faithful to his word. He's going to make it happen. You're going to prosper. He's going to meet your needs. But God's asking you to make this a lifestyle, to live this thing and walk this thing out. Because once you've given, that's just the first part. Now that you've given, you have a responsibility to believe God to bless that gift and prosper you. Why? Because you want to be able to give again. You want this thing to perpetuate. You want to live this lifestyle. Don't just do it every now and then. I want to live this way. I want God to be my source every day of my life. I want God to bless me every day of my life, and I want to be a blessing every day of my life. Amen? Now let's read on. And these are these, the right down here in verse 18. Now these are the ones sown on among thorns. And these are the ones that hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Notice that the devil gets you desiring other things, doing other things and looking at and a quick way out. And the, you know, lust of other stuff gets in and you just takes your eyes off of what you're supposed to be doing. See, Bonnie and I, you know, when we left East Tennessee after my senior year, we moved back down into Virginia on the farmhouse where she grew up. Now, you know, it was, we call it a farm. Actually, it was a dairy farm. It wasn't a farm where you just plant stuff, but they you know, had their cows out there and gave milk and whatever. And but we moved there in the summer before I went to Rhema Bible College, and I was going there. And so we got all, you know, froggy and said, hey, let's plant a garden. You know, springtime, got out, you know, graduated from college in spring, and I still got plenty of time to grow. And I remember my parents grew gardens when I was young. I had to help them. They didn't grow one. I had to help them. They forced me to help them. Amen. I had no desire to help in the garden. Amen. But I had to help. So I'd go out there and help my grandpa plow, and I would go out there and help hoe the corn. I would go out there and help, you know. And so, and, you know, I enjoyed eating it, but I sure didn't want to do any of the work of it. But, you know, so we decided, I tell you what we're going to do. So we got our plow, and we plowed up a section there out, you know, in one of the fields there, and we planted a row of tomatoes, and we planted a row of cucumbers, and we planted a row of green beans, and we had it all set up there. And I was so proud of myself, and I thought, oh, it looks so good. Got all the weeds out and got the ground plowed up. And, you know, I'm working. I'm praying, we're seeking God where to go, and then I'm sharing a little bit, and I'm preaching some, and I'm ministering to other people, and you know what, just tending to that garden just was not my idea of having fun. And we fooled with it for a little while, but then I got busy, and I noticed some weeds growing. I looked over here on the barn, and there was the hoe, and I looked out in the garden, there's the weed, but I never did put the two together, and so I just let it go. And so, you know, we went on long, and finally I just got to the place where I just gave up on my garden because I couldn't tell the difference where the weeds were and the plants were because they were all just one big garden of weeds and plants, okay? And so we just kind of let it go, and I gave up on it. Well, one day, one of the neighbors who was good friends of the family drove up in his pickup truck, and we were standing there talking, and he pulled right up there beside our garden. And so we were talking, and he looked over, and he says, "My Lord, what is that?" And I said, well, that was our garden. And he looked at me and said, "That is the most pitiful garden I ever saw in my life. Son, what is in it?" He said, "Well, my God, there's some tomato plants in here." And he walked around. He says, "Well, there's even some. Well, go get a hoe. I got some." And so he gets out. And you know what? We worked for the next couple of hours digging all those weeds out, redoing all that stuff. And he gets in there. And, you know, I actually found out there were some green beans in there, even in those weeds. I found out there were some tomato plants that was growing. And I found out there was some, you know, some cucumbers, seed that had grown, and they had bloomed and acted little things on. I didn't know they was in there. My harvest was being consumed by the weeds around it. And we got in there and cleaned that out. And you know what's amazing? When we cultivated the ground, see, the seed had already been planted. Didn't need to plant seed. What I needed to do was go out and cultivate the garden, work on the ground. And, you know, we worked on that ground, and we put some water on that stuff. And, you know, it wasn't but a few days, we got some tomatoes on those plants. And we actually got some green beans off of those things, and we got some cucumbers off. Because once we cleared all the junk out, they grew, and they started producing a harvest for us. It worked. Hallelujah. And, you know, a lot of times what we need to do is get the doubt, get the fear, get the frustration. Why isn't it happening now, Lord? See, some of us, we have to get the word out and start digging up the junk that is trying to keep our harvest from coming in. And see, sometimes it takes a little work because, you see, just like me, I wanted to plant the tomato plant today and eat a slice of tomato on my hamburger tomorrow. Hallelujah. Now, back then, it wasn't a hamburger. We couldn't afford one, hardly. We ate bologna sandwich. Hallelujah. Bonnie won't let me eat bologna now, unless I come over to your house and you got some, then we do. Praise God. But anyway, Everything was working, but it didn't work till I put my hand to it and did what I needed to do. Amen? Listen to me, folks. You got to get into this thing and become good ground, because the good ground is what takes all the rocks out, gets rid of the junk, keeps your eyes on God, and just keeps trusting that, Lord, what you said will work for me. And you bring it to pass. And it'll work in your life. Let me show you something real quickly. Look in Luke 13. I just want you to see something here. You know, even if you've got some seed that's been planted in the past, I'm going to encourage you, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. You see, sometimes we just give up on our garden. But you know what? If you get in there and start speaking the word over it, if you get in there and start praying over it and start claiming God to do something for you, it'll still bring forth that harvest for you. Let me show it to you. Look in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It says, "And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years,'" 3 years, look at that. That tree's been there for 3 years. "For 3 years, I have come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it take up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, afterwards, then you can cut it down." What did he say? Don't give up on it. Maybe it just needs some junk cleaned out and some fertilizer. What's fertilizer? Speak the word to it. Speak the word. Give it something to eat. Fertilizer is nutrition, is nourishing it. He's saying, you know, the tree will produce if we put some nourishment to it. Your seed will produce if you'll speak the word to it. Amen? Hebrews 4:14 says, "Let us hold fast our confession of faith." Speak to it, praise God. Some of y'all need to start speaking to your problem. You need to start speaking to the situation. You need to begin to confess. And Hebrews 6:8 says that we're to have faith and patience working together to obtain the promises of God. So I'm going to tell you something today. If you've sowed seed, whether it's seed of kindness, seeds of friendship, seeds of reconciliation, and you haven't seen any harvest come in yet, don't cut it down. Go ahead and start speaking truth to it. Start praising God. Start claiming victory. Start claiming a harvest. Claim God to do what he said he would do. Say, "Lord, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and if I sow into the kingdom will work for me, just like I plant a tomato plant in the ground on the earth, it'll produce a harvest. Lord, my word in the kingdom will produce a harvest for me." Amen. See, some of us, we let the enemy come in and convince us to cut it down right before it's ready to produce for us. I'm not cutting anything off. Not cutting anything down. I'm not giving up on anything. I believe God still wants to bless us. Amen? I still believe God wants to meet our needs. I still believe God wants us to prosper. I still believe God wants us to be successful. I still believe God wants us to be healthy. I still believe God wants us to have joy in our lives. Amen? So what am I going to do? I'm going to sow my seed. I'm going to cultivate the ground. I'm going to get up and praise God, go to bed in faith, and I'm going to speak the word and believe God and thank him for it. And I'm not going to let the devil throw rocks in my garden. I'm not going to let him grow weeds in my garden. And I'm not going to let him talk me into cutting down my tree. Amen. I'm going to believe God to produce harvest in my life. Amen.